I'll come in, Pete.
The report and our trajectory, sir.
Put it on my desk. Pete.
Yes, sir?
How do you feel?
Just wonderful. Sitting up there in the observation turret, well, I don't know how to say it. The sights, I mean. The moon so close, and the earth looking like... Why, Mars, sir. Well, sir, do you really think we'll make it?
Ordinary ailment. He died of old age.
How did a kid turn into an old man overnight and die? Can you explain that, Doctor? Did they tell you all about it at Randolph Field, Doctor?
Not all of it. They told us there was danger in the X-rays of the sun. They said there were theories that these rays had a deteriorating effect on the cells of human structures.
Simply, Doctor. Simply so I can understand it, too.
Well, the theory is that these rays produce a decaying process. And they're the cause of our growing old. That's the theory.
Yeah, then we've proved it, haven't we, Doctor? That kid won a surprise.
In the observation turret, Pete was subjected to more of them at one time than man has ever experienced. Somehow, during his particular shift, he was bombarded with them. Pete aged a normal lifespan, 70, 80 years.
Well, it's not going to happen to anyone else. The observation turret will be sealed off as of right now.
John, wait. You can't do that. You know we need observation. Without it, we're blind in space, meteors.
Captain, the crew, your attention. No one is to enter observation turret. Machinist-made rivers will weld the door. That is all. Navigated entirely on instruments. Crew operating on emergency basis. Captain John Black, master. Log entry, the Venture. 78 hours out from Earth. 7 men in sick bay, unable to diagnose illness. Low fever and lassitude. Approaching gravitational field of Mars. Atmospheric conditions similar to Earth's. Calculate landing at approximately 1...
Condition B exists at Station 12. Condition B exists at Station 12. All men go to nearest safety lock.
Condition B exists
at
Station 12.
Condition B exists at Station 12.
All right, Wesley. What happened?
Something struck the hull. Door it open between bulkhead 12 and 13.
Pressure
going down pretty fast, sir.
Who's up there?
Lieutenant Samuels and James Burton, sir.
Well, what are you waiting for? Close it off. Close the emergency door.
But the lieutenant, sir, and Burton.
They're dead already. Close it.
Yes, sir.
Now give me your microphone, Westphal.
Yes, sir.
Captain of the crew, your attention. Condition B replaced by condition N. All clear. Return to your stations. Prepare to land.
Like ours on Earth.
And this? Professor, you think that the civilizations of two planets can progress at the same rate, develop in the same way?
I do now.
Well, I don't. Look at that house. A Victorian house on Mars. Well, you expect me to believe that? A house with lace curtain windows, with port swings, with something that sounds like a player piano and probably is playing Let Me Call You Sweetheart. You believe all that?
I believe it. I admit it's strange, but I believe it.
Strange? Nuts, it's impossible. We're going back to the ship.
Wait, Johnny. Couldn't be. Yes. Could be that there are similar patterns of thought, movement, civilization on every planet in our system. Maybe we're on the threshold of the great psychological and metaphysical discovery of our time. Maybe...
Go on, Sam.
Maybe this proves the existence of God.
You know, not everyone needs proof.
I don't need it, but how else can you explain all this? John, it fills me with terror and joy. I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
When were you born, Sam?
In 1901.
Well, that makes you 52 years old. Now, this couldn't be heaven. I admit it looks peaceful and cool and pretty much like Council Bluffs where I was born. That was a good, quiet place, Council Bluffs, Iowa. See, I remember. Did you see that, Sam? Did you hear it?
Carriage going down the street.
Suppose, just suppose that by accident, in space, in time or something, we landed on a planet in space, in another time. Suppose this is Earth, 30 or 50 years ago. Well, maybe we got lost in the dimensions. What do you think, Sam?
I think I'd prefer it my way.
Or maybe someone else has been here before us, years ago, built a rocket ship and came here. You know, that could have been done in secret years ago.
John.
That would explain all this. This architecture, those maple trees lining the road, that church steeple. Maybe they hated the world as they knew it on Earth and tried to build a new one. Here. On Mars. Sam, you haven't heard a word.
So much like my hometown. That house. That room up there. With a beaded lamp near the window. When I was a kid, I'd do my lessons in a room just like that. I'd lie there in the night and I'd be awake. And I could hear the freight trains across the river. John, did you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. Let's go.
Where?
We're going up to that house and ask questions. Where else? Come on.
Can I help you?
I beg your pardon, but we want to... Well, that is...
If you're selling something, I'm much too busy and I haven't time. We're all at...
Oh, wait. Don't go away. What town is this?
What do you mean, what town is this? How could you be in a town and not know what town it was?
I beg your pardon, but we're strangers here. We're from Earth. And we want to know how this town got here. How you got here.
Well, you sent to say...
No, we...
What do you want, then?
How long has this town been here?
It was built in 1868. Is this a game?
No, it's not a game. Look, try to understand. We're from Earth.
From where?
From Earth.
Where's that?
The Earth, the...
Do you mean...
No.
Out of the ground.
The planet Earth? Come out on the porch, please, and I'll show you.
No, I won't come out there. You're evidently quite mad from the sun.
Let me try, John. Lady, we came in a flying ship across space among the stars. We came from the third planet from the sun, Earth, to this planet, which is Mars. Now, do you understand?
You are mad from the sun. Go away now. Go away before I call my husband from his supper. He'll beat you up. That's what he'll do.
But this is Mars, isn't it?
This is Green Lake, Wisconsin. On the continent of America, surrounded by the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans, on a place called the World. Or sometimes the Earth. Go away now. Go away!
Let's take a walk, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam,
going on here. Something we don't understand. I want you to go back to the ship. If anything out of the way happens, lift the ship and get out. That's an order, Sam.
All right. If it's an order. John. Look at that woman walking towards us.
And what about her?
She looks like my...
Sam. Oh, Sam, you look fine. So grown up. But, Sam, don't you know me? It's your grandma. Your old grandma.
Grandmother?
What's wrong, Sam? Oh, and who is this, a friend of yours?
This is Captain John Black. John, this is my grandmother.
Grandmother?
So help me. So help me, John, this is my grandmother. She's dead. She died 30 years ago, but this is my grandmother.
Well, there's no sense standing here on the street. You just come on home. We've so much to talk about. You too, Captain. Any friend of my grandson's is mine, too. Don't stand there with your mouths open. Come on. Here, Sam, have some more iced tea. Would you like some more, too, Captain?
Yes, thank you. I would.
Well, here's to our health.
How long have you been here, Grandmother?
Ever since I died. Now, don't look like that. I said ever since I died 30 years ago.
Sam?
Who are we to question what happens? What's living anyway? All I know is here I am alive again and no questions asked. Here, Captain. Here. Feel my arm. Go ahead. Solid, isn't it? No, you hear my voice, don't you? You hear it, don't you, Captain?
Yes, I hear it. Grandmother.
Well, then, why go around questioning?
It's just that we never... Well, I never thought I'd see you again, Grandmother.
Mrs. Hingston...
Yes, some more iced tea, Captain?
Oh, no, I just want to ask you a question. Mrs. Hingston...
Yes?
Is Mars heaven?
Nonsense. No, it's just a place where we get a second chance. Like another Earth. How do we know there wasn't one before Earth?
That's a good question, John.
Well, maybe we better get back to ship, Sam. Good night, Mrs. Hingston. Thanks for the tea.
Oh, you'll be back, of course. For supper, I mean. We're having
Sam... I beg your pardon, Mrs. Hingston. Look at them.
But they're heroes to these people. They're being made welcome.
The abandoned ship they had orders our court-martial every one of them.
John, listen to me. They found old relatives and friends.
They had their orders.
What would you have done?
Obeyed orders. I would have...
What's the matter?
Emma, I don't believe it. It's impossible.
John? They said I would find you here.
Phyllis.
Of course, darling.
Phyllis.
Of course. Who did you think it was?
This is Phyllis, Sam.
We're waiting for you.
Me?
Your mother and father.
They're here.
Waiting for you. At your old house on Oak Knoll Avenue.
You heard that, didn't you, Sam? It's Phyllis. It's Phyllis talking. And she said mother and dad. And the old...
You understand now. I mean the crew. The same thing that's happened to them.
Yeah. No, it's all a dream. When I open my eyes, it'll all be gone. Phyllis will be gone.
Open them, John.
Oh, Phyllis.
Time now. We'll all be together again.
Yes, sir.
Don't accepted that your mother and father were once dead. That I was killed 10 years ago in a horrible accident. And now I'm alive. And in your arms. Tight. John, hold me tight.
Well, I think I'll run along to bed now. You children won't forget to turn out the light. Good night, fellas.
Night, Dad.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, Mom.
Good night, Dad.
Shall we go out on the back porch, John, like we used to? Come with me, John. Here. Look at here on the steps. Remember that grape arbor? You built it. I remember you hurt your hand and I cried and... You're very silent, John. Is there anything wrong?
Phyllis, I just had a crazy notion.
What, darling?
Suppose this were Mars.
But it isn't.
Oh, humor me, Phyllis. Suppose it were Mars, indeed. And the Martians saw our ship coming and saw us inside our ship and hated us. And they wanted to destroy us, but in a very clever way.
Yes?
Well, what would be the best weapon a Martian could use against us with our atomic bombs, our hydrogen?
But...
Let me finish. The answer is interesting. The Martians would use telepathy, hypnosis, memory... Imagination.
John, don't question us anymore.
Suppose this town, in some other shape, a Martian shape, but by playing on my memory and my desires and my wants, they've made it what I wanted it to be.
Go on, John.
Suppose my mother and father weren't that at all, but two Martians, incredibly brilliant, keeping me under this dreaming hypnosis, as other Martians have done to my men,
but
to Sam.
You've had your arms around me. You've kissed me. We shared old secrets. Was that a Martian hypnosis, John?
Phyllis.
Yes? What is it, John?
I'm going inside. I'm thirsty. I want to get a drink of water.
You're not thirsty. Stay here with me.
I'm going inside.
You're not thirsty, John.
Phyllis. My gun. Where did you... Put down that gun. Phyllis!
You think too much, John.
No, not Phyllis. That was right. Yara.
In the morning, the brass band played a mournful dirge. From every house in the street came little solemn processions bearing long boxes. And along the sun-filled street, weeping and changing, came the Martian grandmas and grandfathers, and mothers and sisters and brothers, walking to the churchyard, where there were open holes dug freshly and new tombstones installed. 15 holes in all, and 15 tombstones. Two of the tombstones said Captain John Black and Samuel Hinkston. The mayor made a little sad speech, his face sometimes looking like the mayor, sometimes looking like something else. Mother and Father Black were there too, and Phyllis. And they cried, their faces melting now from a familiar face into something else. Grandma Hinkston was there, weeping, her face also shifting like wax. Shivering as a thing does in waves of heat on a summer day. The coffins were lowered. Somebody murmured about a job well done and the sudden death of 15 fine men during the night. Earth was shoveled in on the coffin top. After the funeral, the brass band played, slammed and banged, and they all marched back into town. And everyone took the day off.
The ABC Radio Workshop has presented Mars is Heaven, a story from the science fiction classic, The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. The radio adaptation was made by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Starring in the role of Captain Black was Bill Hudson, with Francis Urie as Dr. Hingston. Other members of the cast included Monty Himmelbaum as Lieutenant Lustig, Mary Dean Moss as the woman at the door, Marion Richmond as Grandma Hingston, Joellen Chambers as Phyllis, Kurt Converse as Father Black, and Roy Schumann as Westfall. Tape editors were Franklin Brazee and Vern Green. Broadcast engineer Hank Newman. Your announcer is Dick Weston.